Hello, you're listening to the Practically Perfect Parenting Podcast. I'm Sarah Polinchek. I'm here with my co-host, John Summers Flanagan.
Hello, Sarah.
Hi, John. So today, we're talking about divorce.
Divorce and shared parenting. Mm-hmm. And before we jump into that, I should say thank you to the Charles Engelhardt Foundation and to the National Parenting Education Network for underwriting and sponsoring our time with you today.
Yeah. So today we're talking about a Bill of Rights for children of divorce. And again, we've mentioned this in other shows, but divorce is common. I mean, a lot of people are divorced. We know that. It's almost half of people. And so and many of those people have children. And it's important to really navigate that tricky water with some intention and some education.
Right. You know, and because it's not the way you had planned things to work out, most people who get married have kids. You know, they see their future as continuing together as a family. And so hardly anyone plans to have a divorce. And so what's important is that we recognize that this is an unusual or unplanned situation. When you have an unplanned situation, Sarah, what do you do? Well, you want to educate yourself.
Oh, right.
Yeah. you were getting really a scared
worried,
look on
yeah.
your face.
Not sure what we
an
do.
An unplanned situation like when I ask you a question and we're on the air. So really, for me, a big part of this show is about divorce education, about how do we understand what's happened and make adjustments so that we can handle it in a way that's better for our children and better for ourselves.
Definitely. I think a theme that I keep bringing up anyway is that parenting's hard, really hard. And anytime we have one of these new challenges, like divorce, step parenting, any of those new things, it just makes everything that's already hard even harder. So it's definitely a worthwhile discussion.
One metaphor I think about is the juggler, right? You know, well, let's toss up another ball or sword or whatever into the juggling. That's going to increase the difficulty. And so divorce does increase the difficulty of parenting well. That's why we're talking about it.
Yeah. So we have a Bill of Rights for Children of Divorce. And John, I know you wrote this. There's a lot of different bills of rights out there, but you wrote this one several years ago. I mean, what inspired you to write this?
I wrote this one, so it must be the best one.
Right. Yes, of course.
Of course it is. Well, you know, I was the director of an organization called Families First. It's in Missoula, Montana. It's dedicated to parent education and support. And as a part of my work there, we got a grant to do divorce education classes. We got it from the state of Montana. And one of the reasons we applied for it and one of the reasons we got it is because of the prominence and the frequency of divorce and how much it can adversely affect children. Mm-hmm. So that's how it got started. And if I can tell you a little story.
Of course.
One of my early classes, we called it Divorce and Shared Parenting. They were six-hour classes. I remember this one was at the YMCA in Missoula, Montana. We're just doing introductions. We're going around the room. And it's a, you know, it's a mixed group. Some people are there because they have to be, and others are there because they want to be. I remember we got about two-thirds of the way around the room, and this one dad says, I'm just asking for their names. And he says his name, and he says, and I don't need any stupid-ass parenting class.
And the beads of sweat start rolling down your brow, right?
Right. And then he says, the only reason I'm in this stupid-ass parenting class is because the stupid-ass judge told me that I could not have unsupervised visitation with my 12-year-old daughter unless I came to this stupid-ass class. So that's why I'm here.
Oh. Yeah, that's tough.
It's tough, and I wanted to be sarcastic back, you know. But somehow, in the moment, I managed to find a little bit of empathy for him. I don't know how. It was lucky.
Well, I have to say I'm glad, John, because we're talking to parents about who are faced with these tricky situations and you want to respond in ways, and we're telling them not to respond in those tempting ways. So I'm glad you resisted in the moment right there, because otherwise I couldn't have you on the show.
You have to kick me off right now. Well, and also I think our job as parent educators or parenting educators and as therapists and counselors and social workers is to be a really good role model.
Yeah, and even though it's hard. Yeah.
And so sometimes when your kids or the other parent pushes your buttons, then, you know, what you end up with is you end up with negative reactions. And so I was able to respond in a positive way. And I remember saying back to him, well, so let me especially say to you, thank you for coming to this class, because to come to this class that you don't want to be in mm-hmm. must mean that you love your daughter very much.
Good job. Wow.
Calmed him down.
Yeah.
And we made it, you know, through the whole 6 hours, mm-hmm. end of the day. And this is sort of, I think I'm pretty funny sometimes. And so I am giving him his certificate, 6 hour parenting class, right?
Yeah.
On divorce, just what he needs. And I say, hey, you know, you ought to take this and frame it and put it on the wall of your house because, you know, you really didn't want to do it. I thought I was being pretty funny, and mm-hmm. he just sort of sneered at me and walked out.
Okay.
So it was about a week, maybe 2 weeks later, he calls me, and his voice is totally shaky and changed. And I remember thinking, there's something up, and he apologized. I'm sorry I was such a jerk in your class. I was really upset, and I just want to tell you. And I'm saying, oh, it's all right. You know, it's not a big deal. He says, well, I just want to say, and he starts to sob on the phone, and he mm-hmm. tells me the story. I got unsupervised visits, and my daughter came to my trailer, which is where I live, and I had put the certificate on the wall like you had told me to. And she saw it, and she stood there, and she read it, and then she turned away from it, and she gave me this big old hug and said, Daddy, I am so proud of you. And at this point, he's just crying on the mm-hmm. phone. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I learning from this? And what am I appreciating? You know, he was an irritable, mm-hmm. difficult guy. But darn it, he did love his daughter. Mm-hmm. He loved her very much. And, you know, a lot of what he was doing in the class was just posturing and just sort of being angry. And of course he's angry. He's going through a really hard thing.
Definitely. Yeah.
Divorce is a broken dream. Mm-hmm. It's a shattered dream. And so to think that this is a person who you loved and that you gave of yourself to, and then that person decided, maybe let's not be married anymore. Mm-hmm. Wow. That hits you right where it hurts. And so I think we need to have compassion. And we need to deal with and tolerate and accept a certain amount of irritability and anger.
Definitely. That's a great story. I think, and too, I'll just add to that, that just honoring for each other that divorce is always, it hurts. People are never better off immediately. I mean, maybe in the long run, I think in the long run, a lot of people do feel that way. But certainly in the first year, again, research shows that people are feeling worse. It's a painful, mm-hmm. painful thing to have happen. So
it hurts. And think about that, you know. So how do we respond to hurt mm-hmm. and psychological pain or physical pain? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's not pretty.
No, it's not.
You know, we yell and we swear and we scream and we cry and we emote in all these really strong and hard ways.
Right.
And so that's natural.
It is.
It's not going to be pretty.
And so we need to get, as adults, get those needs taken care of. And I think what we're going to talk about today is that, again, the kids didn't ask for this. Mm-mm. So as much as it's hurting us as adults, and it's hard for us, we have to do some things to help make sure that it's not so hurtful for our kids.
Yes, okay. Absolutely. We have to focus on that.
Definitely.
Because it's an adjustment, and we have to focus on that. If we don't focus on how do we make things safe and good for our kids, and part of that involves taking good care of ourselves, right?
Right.
But if we don't take good care of ourselves and focus on how can we be the best parents through this difficult time, we're just not going to do as well.
Right. Being an adult is hard.
Totally sucks.
So I'm going to read the first item here from the Bill of Rights for Children of Divorce. Okay. I have the right to be free from your conflicts and hostilities. When you badmouth each other in front of me, it tears me apart inside. Don't put me in the middle or play me against my other parent, and don't burden me with your relationship problems. They are yours, not mine. Mm. Ooh, that says a lot there.
Yeah. You know, one of the reasons that we wrote this is because of my experience in those classes, but also it channels the voices of some kids of divorce with whom my wife Rita and I had worked. Mm-hmm. And that's channeling the voice of, geez, you know, don't have me be a spy. Mm-hmm. Keep me out of your conflicts. Mm-hmm. I don't want you asking me if my mom had somebody sleep over.
Right.
Right?
Ugh, right.
I don't want you telling me that my dad isn't paying child support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's adult stuff. That's not where the kids belong in
right.
that kind of domain. And one of the things we know, too, is that One of the biggest predictors for outcomes of how children do after a divorce is the level of conflict that they experience, right?
Right.
So it'll be there, but keep the kids removed from that. And again, I think accessing supports so that you can resolve those things and move forward without the kids' involvement is so important.
Right. Yeah. Don't open your checkbook and say, oh, I wish I could buy you a bike, but
your dad took it.
Your dad's spending it on his new girlfriend. You know, there are just so many ways not to do it. And so, yeah, the research says kids turn out worse. In other words, they suffer more emotionally and in terms of psychological problems. Mm-hmm. The more frequent the conflict. Mm-hmm. And the more intense the conflict, okay, mm-hmm. so like yelling, throwing things, hitting mm-hmm. each other, the more intense, the worst outcomes. But the most destructive is involvement in conflict. Mm-hmm. So is hooking your child into the war against the other parent mm-hmm. is the most pathology-creating thing you can do. Mm-hmm. That said,
yeah,
it's also natural because right. you want... You feel sometimes like you're alone in the conflict, right? Mm-hmm. And you just wish that, you just wish you had somebody on your side. And so it's natural to try to recruit your child mm-hmm. to be on your side. The problem is your child has, you know, a conflict of loyalties.
Right.
And needs to be loyal to that other parent. That's half of the DNA.
Yeah.
So if you need somebody to be on your side, you know.
Friends. Good family members, professionals,
yep.
those people, not your kids.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the other thing, and this came up, on one of our breaks, is that let's say that the other parent is a jerk.
Mm-hmm. Which is common.
Well, there's a book. There's a book that has the title, Joint Custody with a Jerk. I always thought, that's such a clever title, but you just really need to rip the cover off mm-hmm. because you can't let your children see that
it.
You're reading that.
Exactly. Can't put that on the bookshelf.
Yeah. So let's say the other parent is a jerk. And you got to keep in mind, you're way better off if your child comes to that conclusion on his own or her own, mm-hmm. rather than for you to convince your child, oh, wait, look what a bad person your mom is or what a bad person your dad is.
Yeah.
You don't need to make that case.
No.
Just let it be. You just be positive, constructive. Just
right.
be as good a parent as you can and get the emotional refueling from your friends, from your counselor, from people who you trust.
Definitely. And again, we just don't want to understate how hard that's going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be really hard. So being prepared for that, I think, is a big deal.
Yes. How many items are on this thing?
A lot. Yeah. No. Do you want to read the next one?
Well, yeah. Let me read one. I have a right to my own personal space in both my homes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then it says, this doesn't mean I can't share a room with my brother or sister, but it does mean that I need you to give me some space and time of my own. I also need some special personal items in my own space. And this might include a picture of my other parent. Don't freak out about it.
Mm, that's so good. I think one of the things we've talked about too on our other podcast is that, gosh, if you can accept the other parent, so if I'm a step parent, and I have a stepchild, and I can be accepting of my stepchild's, you know, birth parent, that's going to go such a long way. It's so important. And having pictures of them in your house, while it may be hard in some situations, is so important for the kids.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to see the picture of your ex.
No, we understand that. But
don't draw a mustache on it and let it be there. Let your child love that other parent.
Yeah.
So...
And
so anyway.
Express it and talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I have another one.
Okay.
I am a kid and I have a right to firm limits and boundaries and reasonable expectations. Just because I'm a child of divorce doesn't mean I can't handle chores, homework, or other normal responsibilities. On the other hand, keep in mind that even though I may have a little sister or brother or stepsister or stepbrother, I'm not the designated babysitter.
But it's so convenient. You know, one of the things that slips mm-hmm. big time in divorce is that, so now you got two households, right?
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, one household will be a little more strict than the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes there's this polarization that happens, and that's part of what this particular part of the Bill of Rights is about, is that sometimes, and traditionally it's more the dad who becomes the Disneyland dad, right? no limits.
Right. They're going to be fun.
We're just going to have fun.
Yeah. We've seen that a lot. It's not always the case, but we've seen it a lot.
We see a lot of exceptions, but you do see it a lot. And then sometimes then there will be a competition between the parents.
Mm-hmm. Who's more fun?
Who's more fun?
Mm-hmm. Who gets the most love?
Who gets the most love? Who gets the most stuff?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Who gets to eat the most, you know, ice cream and dessert?
Mm-hmm. For breakfast.
For breakfast. Oh, so those are not competitions you want to get into.
No.
And you need to really still set some firm limits. The other thing that sometimes happens, and this isn't good either, is that the parent who's the more natural, strict one will polarize and become even more strict and not have any fun with the kids as a way of compensating for that other parent who's being the Disneyland parent.
Right.
Right? Either way. So what I think we like to tell parents is stay the course. Mm-hmm. Be the kind of parent that you are. Look at yourself. Scrutinize yourself. I mean, maybe you can adjust a little bit and be a little more loose.
Flexibility is a big
fun.
Thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And in every community, there are really good people who have the education and expertise to help with these things. Parenting plan experts, facilitators, all of that. And accessing those professionals, I think, is really key. Yeah.
Yes.
Would you be offended if I made up a bill right now on this, one of these items?
I would love to hear your, let's see, it's the Bill of Rights. And so this could be an amendment.
Yes, an amendment. Okay, so I am a child and I have the right to be free of your new dating world that you might find very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to hear about your new latest date you went on.
Yeah.
I have the right to be free of that.
Yeah, I think you're right. You have a right to be free of hearing about it. Mm-hmm. And maybe you have a right to be free of seeing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you just don't want to see necessarily your parent kissing another person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. That can just raise a lot of emotional issues that just don't need to be raised. I think the inclination, Sarah, is that most of the time the parent will bring in the new partner too soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're enamored with this new person. They kind of expect their children to be also.
Wouldn't everybody just want to meet this person,
right?
Yeah. But remembering that this, again, these kids didn't ask for this experience. They're grieving. They're in a state of loss. They don't understand why their parents got divorced. It's scary. It's uncomfortable. They're worried, really worried. Who's going to love me and take care of me? I mean, all sorts of those fears in the mind of a kid are really big. And to introduce a new person to that whole dynamic, the timing of that is really important. And sometimes people introduce multiple new people, right? So what would our suggestion be? I mean, we don't have a specific date. Like, we would never say, well, you need to wait 97 days, right? But what would be a good guideline if you're dating?
Well, my reaction would be only 97.
Right.
You know, it's just there's no better way to stir up conflict between the biological parents than to bring that third person in. And so even if you think your children are ready, your former partner, former husband, former wife may not be ready to bring that person in or to have that person brought in. And you know your kids are going to tell them.
Right.
Because
you know, you might be saying, well, why do I care about my former partner and their feelings? But it's because they are the parent of your child, and that's why you have to care.
Exactly. We used to talk in our parenting classes that you can't use the word ex anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, oh, my ex, you know, is, I don't like the way he's treating the kids. You got to say, my children's dad.
Yeah.
My children's mom.
There's a lot more respect there.
There's more respect there. They've got that role. And so, yeah, I think in an ideal world, if I'm going to start dating someone and I think it might be time for the kids to meet that person, I'm way better off if I communicate that to the other parent
first,
rather than have it be a surprise and have the kids, you know, maybe I have her over for the night or for dinner or whatever. And then when they're with their mom, they say, hey, mom, dad had a date. Oh, and she was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stirring up the pot.
Mm-hmm.
Stirring up the pot.
Yeah, and adding layers of confusion for kids.
Mm.
You know, we need to always be thinking about what their future relationship health is going to be like. How are they going to relate to other people in their intimate relationships? And I think modeling, you know, a little restraint.
Yep.
A little patience.
Well, you know, and you and I are both kind of uptight people.
Speak for yourself.
Oh, well, anyway. So I'm kind of an uptight person, apparently. And so I would say this is one of those times when you got to be an adult, mm-hmm. you know, and it sucks, but you're maybe enamored, you're in love with, mm-hmm. you are infatuated with someone.
Butterflies with a new person.
Oh, yep. So exciting. Mm-hmm. And it is exciting, but you got to put those feelings on hold for the welfare of your children. Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. I know I might be too rigid about it and too uptight, but there are a lot of people who would say, you know, you should really wait a year before you get into another romantic relationship. And one of the reasons is you have a chance of just replicating the last one. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we just reproduce what we know well.
Right.
So end up picking somebody who's just like the first partner. And so for your own well-being and your own, and of course, I'm not going to say that there's a formula period of time. But some people have said a year. Mm-hmm. Some people have said 2 years. I believe some of the AA people say that when you're coming out of an addiction, you should have a plant first and then a pet.
That's not a bad idea.
And see how those things go. Mm-hmm. And then eventually you can have some romance back in your life. Mm-hmm. I realize that's not the way most people want to live. But again, if you're looking at the well-being of your children, and you're listening for what's going to be good for them, it is better for us to be adults and to, you know, we can spend time with that new romantic partner separately.
Yeah.
Have a great time.
Yep. And then I like something that you said, too, about taking some time for yourself before you do jump into one. It will help with the success of that new relationship because, mm-hmm. again, remember that you're really grieving. It hurts. And I think a natural inclination for us when we're hurting is to just move into something else real quick. But if we don't learn some things about ourselves that maybe went wrong, and I'm talking about ourselves, not necessarily, it's not always the other person.
Right.
We're going to repeat that in the next relationship. And we know that second marriages, right, mm-hmm. they end in divorce more mm-hmm. often. So that's a time of kind of reflection and healing before we just jump in.
But, right.
Yeah.
One thing I said about, you know, kind of keep it to yourself or mm-hmm. to, you don't need to expose the children to it. That doesn't mean you need to make it a secret either.
Yeah.
It's okay to be able to, your kids might suspect it. They might say, oh, are you dating somebody? And you might say, well, yeah, I am. And I'm going to keep that separate for a little while. And maybe mm-hmm. at some point we'll have you guys meet. And, mm-hmm. you know, the same thing with the former partner, mm-hmm. the children's other parent. Mm-hmm. You might share that, yeah, I'm doing some dating and I don't want it to mess things up, mm-hmm. but I'm going to spend some time and try to develop a good relationship with this person. And so I'm not going to expose the kids, but I am going to spend some time.
Mm-hmm. And I think you could always follow that up after you tell your kids. But no matter what happens with me and this new person, I always love you.
Yep.
This person will not replace your other parent.
Nope.
You can't probably say that enough.
Good advice.
Okay.
Speaking of advice, I think we're probably to the point where we need to give that money to change up.
Yeah, what is our advice today?
Well, I have some.
Oh, good.
And I need to find it because I wrote it down.
Well, you have yours. I'll say mine real quick.
Perfect.
I would say one of the big things to think about is just that level of conflict. You know, again, that's going to dictate the outcome for kids. Divorce doesn't have to be a horribly tragic thing for everybody. Mm-hmm. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. And I think to figure out ways to manage conflict, don't try to not have any. That's mm-hmm. not what we say about conflict. It's everywhere. But try to manage it well so that your kids aren't being hurt by it.
Yeah, well said. We're not supposed to say conflict resolution anymore.
No, we don't resolve it. We just manage
conflict
it.
Conflict management.
Mm-hmm.
So my big piece of advice, Sarah, is no divorce without a course.
I like it.
Yeah. I mean, it really speaks to the fact that we need education, mm-hmm. right? Because this was not the scenario that we planned. And since it's a new scenario, we need to learn something about it.
Totally. Who's born with the instinct to know what to do once you break up with somebody?
You know, even those of us who like to think we know how to handle everything, we don't. And so let's read about it. Let's learn about it. And the no divorce without a course is something we established in Missoula at the 4th Judicial District Court. So everybody who gets divorced through that court has to take a short divorce class.
Mm-hmm.
We have longer ones too, but everybody had to come for an hour and a half in the evening and they weren't happy to be there, but it was good for them to get some basic information about how things may be different and cautions, things to watch out for, mm-hmm. dangers, risks, and stuff like that.
Yeah. And as you mentioned with the story at the beginning, that even a lot of the parents who really were mad about coming, mm-hmm. a lot of them really go, wow, what would I have done without this? I mean, there is a lot of really helpful information.
That moves us to our resource section. Mm-hmm. And my resource is going to be so good that it's going to be good enough for both of us.
Oh, I'm so glad.
And it's the book titled Mom's House, Dad's House. Mm-hmm. It's by a woman named Iselina Ricci, R-I-C-C-I. It's a classic. And what I really like about that resource is that it helps parents see how they need to have two homes for their children, and that those two homes will involve a mom and a dad, parents, mm-hmm. no matter what happens. And you need to sort of establish that new secure base in two places mm-hmm. instead of just one. It gets down to some details about how you talk about the other parent, mm-hmm. but also opportunities for the children to explore their new space mm-hmm. because they will have some new space even if one parent stays in the old home. And so Mom's House, Dad's House, Iselina Ricci, great resource.
That is great. And then I know you have some stuff on your blog.
I do. It's mm-hmm. probably not quite as great as hers, but, you know, we have this Children's Bill of Rights, mm-hmm. which I think it's a nice way to sort of channel the thoughts and feelings that children might have from their perspective mm-hmm. so that we can understand the situation better from our children's perspective and therefore have more empathy for them.
Definitely. That's what we got to be doing, is thinking about, as hard as it is for us, we have to be adults. Think about the kids.
You said that several times today.
It is hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of these things that we talk about on this show are some of the challenges that parents have. There are resources out there. There is the blog that I have, but there are many resources online. And don't forget that you have resources in your own environment. You got friends, you got family, you got people who've been through the experience. Try to get the support that you need. And we also want to thank the Charles Engelhard Foundation and the National Parenting Education Network for their support of these broadcasts.
Definitely. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Sarah. And hey, we will see you guys next time.
All right. The Practically Perfect Parenting Podcast is sponsored in part by the Charles Engelhard Foundation, audio engineer Mike Matthews, production assistant Joey Moore, and co-hosts Sarah Polinchek and John Summers Flanagan.